chicken down the coast.
Oh, good morning, Reading. This is Positively Healthy, and you're listening to Dr. Trudy Pratt. And, gosh, what a beautiful summer day. Our producer is Eric Lancaster. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, Trudy.
Hey, what's the weather doing for all those wondering about? Probably more like the humidity they're wondering about. But
it's Reading, and it's summertime. We're done with spring and winter, in case you haven't noticed. Our official forecast high today is supposed to be 103. Yes, it's June. 106. Humidity's been a little high this last few weeks. Like we were talking there during the news, we've had a long, wet spring.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a little bit of humidity. For Reading, it's kind of high. Yesterday, we were looking at like 76% humidity. Right now, we're at about 30% humidity, which is kind of high for Reading in June, but it's, like I said, it's not Gulf Coast high, where it's, you know, 98 degrees and 112% humidity, where you just walk outside and you go back in and change your clothes. But for Reading, it's a little humid out there. People can tell.
Swamp coolers are still going to work, though, right?
Yeah, 30%. They're still working pretty good.
All right, because we're going to need them today. No, I don't,
okay.
I know that's the humidity question for
yes.
The swamp cooler crowd, yeah.
I've had one before. In our first house, we had a swamp cooler, and I loved it because it was... I could easily have my house 10 degrees cooler than it was outside, easy, just like that.
And much less expensive.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So
okay.
The AC actually kicked on yesterday for the first time.
Ah.
So it's kind of like, oh, yeah. Let's get a fan.
It's summer. Well, it's going to be nice and clear out, so it looks like those funny little clouds are gone. Well, let me give you a few updates here for the folks wondering what to do today. There's something called Field to Fork, which is a very cool thing that the Slow Food folks are putting on down in Red Bluff. And it's from 8 to 3 p.m. today at the Red Bluff City Park, which is on Main Street. You just follow the signs. And if you're looking for natural beef, pork, lamb, or chicken, there are about three or four different ranches and farms providing you samples of all sorts of different meat products, and then it's basically a full farmer's market with all sorts of different farmers there. You can get any veggies that you need, and then a few cheese makers will be there, a few different rice companies that sell rice, and then olive oil, two olive oil groups, Lucero and Pacific Sun, will be there, and then several bakeries. And so it looks like also there'll be some homemade butter there. So that is in Red Bluff at the Red Bluff City Park, and it goes from 8 to 3. And I know there was a great turnout there last year, so it is today. So if that sounds fun to you, then just start heading that direction before the heat gets too hot. We have a fabulous guest today, and Eric, I know you have kids. Did you have them with a midwife, or did you have them in the hospital?
We had them in the hospital.
Okay.
Our first one was born in the hospital. The second one, some of the OBGYNs in the area had gotten together and had a nice little place next to Mercy Hospital. It was a nice little room made up very nice, very tastefully decorated. The bed actually turned into the birthing bed, but it was a room for just my wife. Just my wife and her and I and the OBGYN and then eventually my daughter and the nurse. Really beautiful, tastefully done, but they just couldn't support it. So we went, you know, the typical route. First kid born in Mercy, second one born next door to Mercy, but two really different experiences when it came to the atmosphere, what was going on. One was a little more clinical, being in a hospital, another one was a little more homey.
Mm-hmm.
So, but a good friend of mine, a gal, it was in my youth group, which makes me feel really old, she's having her first via the midwife. So,
And
my wife was never really into that, but it's always been fascinating because I grew up where you got a sniffle, you went to the doctor. You got this. The doctor did everything.
Yes.
You didn't trust that midwife stuff or that herbal medicine stuff. And, you know, you got a shot, you got a pill, and you were always good. But as we know on your show, that's not always the case.
That's right. So our guest today is Dina Burgess. She has been a midwife for 38 years here in Reading. And after this break, we are going to meet Dina, so don't go away.
Hi, this is...
Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Positively Healthy, and I'm Dr. Trudy Pratt. And this show is known for bringing you different ideas that maybe you haven't considered that can move you in a direction of health. We know that a lot of little changes, a little positive change, eventually adds up to major change. And we get a lot of positive feedback on this show where people will say, you know, I've been listening to your little ideas, and if we make little changes, you know, we're starting to get a little healthier, and then pretty soon people are feeling a lot better. And so someone approached me the other day and said, you know, I want you to know that my husband lost 40 pounds and I've lost 25. We're just making a lot of little changes. And so I would encourage you to just make changes that make sense to you, and start there. And then drastic change usually is change that lasts about a day and a half, you know. So go ahead and make it slowly. Make changes that fit into your life. And so when you make a change slowly, it becomes a habit, and pretty soon it's just the way you know, it's just a choice you make day in and day out. So continue the good work, listeners. Our guest today is Dina Burgess. And Dina, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, gosh, you've been a midwife for 38 years, and you said, what, 32 of them have been in Reading?
31.
31.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now, what got you into this profession?
Actually, I had my first child in the hospital in San Francisco, and that was just back when she just turned 40, so I realized, you know, in March that, oh, my God, I had a middle-aged child. So we went to natural childbirth classes. They were pretty unavailable down there. And when I finally got to the hospital to have her, it was like this totally sterile room. You know, IV, one little chair for my husband to sit on, and then they wouldn't let him in the delivery room. And they wouldn't let me have the baby. I mean, I never even saw the baby for almost 3 hours. Yeah, they wrapped her up, ran her out of the room, you know, and there was nothing wrong with her. And so when I got pregnant, the next time I got pregnant, I lived in Hawaii, and I said, I'm not doing that again. I just can't do that. I found a nice little hippie doctor who would see me prenatally, and we just planned to have an unattended home birth, you know, because there were no midwives that I could find. And after I actually had my second child, my son, I found an old Filipino midwife that I trained with, you know, because I said, this is the way to go. You know, this is the way I want to do it. So, like I say, I've been practicing. I've practiced in Hawaii, I've practiced in the Bay Area, and then I practiced up here.
And then a licensed midwife is what? What is a licensed midwife?
We're licensed through the medical board, so okay. Our licensing is different than like a certified nurse midwife, which
okay.
is a nurse first. So our training is 3 years post-secondary education, and then you've got to sit for like 10 exams and then you relicense every 2 years.
So it sounds rigorous.
It's fairly rigorous. It's not for the faint of heart.
Yeah. Okay, so then you, at this point, you had a child, what it was called an unattended birth.
It was unattended birth, yeah.
And then that, for you, was life-changing.
It was very life-changing.
You had two experiences to look at, and you decided, okay, let's bring this
right.
to the people then.
But, you know, and the old rule of thumb is that midwives have been around forever.
Sure.
Know?
Yeah.
And honestly, when you look at countries that have the very best outcome for births, they're mainly the first 12 of them are midwife attended countries. You know, where they people have the option of going to a midwife, having it in the hospital, having it at home, or having it at a birth center. And it's really rare that they see an OB unless there's a real problem.
Okay. So then for someone maybe at home thinking that this sounds like an avenue for them, take us through what it would be like. So they make an appointment with you before they get pregnant, in theory?
They can. Some people do. Some people will call and say, you know, I'm planning on getting pregnant, or I'm getting my IUD out, or I'm going to quit taking the pill. What can I do to help, you know, assure that I'm having a really healthy pregnancy from the start? But that's a rarity. Most people will call me after they find out they're pregnant, you know. And usually it's my appointments are very similar to going to a doctor. The difference is you're not going to sit in a waiting room for a couple of hours before you see somebody, and you're not going to see a nurse first, so all of your care is going to be done by myself and my assistant, you know. And we get to know each other very well over a course of, sometimes it's only a couple of days I meet somebody before they have their baby, you know.
So last minute they're deciding.
Last minute they're deciding, oh no, I'm not going to do that, you know. And they're looking for other avenues. So
prenatally, then, are they meeting with you every couple of months? Or
I'm generally seeing people once a month.
Once a month.
In
okay.
the beginning. And then 37 weeks, I'll do a home visit. And then I see them once a week until they deliver. And then postpartum, I see them for 8 weeks postpartum.
Okay. And then what is it that you have them? How do they prepare? Like, what advice are you giving them? You're just basically making sure that they're healthy and eating right.
I mean, we're doing the same things, basically. We're doing the same kind of care. I mean, we're listening to the baby. we're doing blood pressures, we're checking your urine, we're doing blood work, all of that kind of stuff. And I do a lot of stuff with diet with people, you know, and making sure that they're getting a lot of water. That's a big thing, and especially in Reading, you know, and
no kidding,
and dropping down, you know, the junk food stuff, you know. And even women that are extremely heavy, the interesting thing is, like, you can tell them no more fast food, you know, or you can do, and I try and tell them, you know, it's like you're not going to be 100% ever. But if you do 80% of everything you eat is good food, you know, and good for you, then you're going to have a fairly healthy outcome most of the time. You know, it's going to be rare that you're going to have a lot of problems.
Oh, great. So. Okay. Well, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you are listening to Positively Healthy, and we're going to be back with Dina Burgess right after these messages. You got to make the most. Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Positively Healthy here on a perfect Saturday. And our guest today is Dina Burgess, and she is a licensed midwife. And we've got all sorts of questions for you, Dina. And I wanna come back with the actual, you know, we were just talking about leading up to having the baby, and people are under your care, and you're seeing them monthly. And then let's decide they're going into labor. They call you. I mean, what kind of an event is this now?
It just depends. You know, people will call me and say, I think something's going on. And I usually tell them, give me a heads up, you know, but I always keep my car is always loaded and always got gas in it. So I go, give me a heads up, because sometimes I have to change appointments that I've got for that day. And so I go, if you think something's going on, even if it's not imminent, call me. And then we just kind of keep in touch, and usually I'll go and check them and see, and maybe leave my equipment there or not. Maybe just a false alarm. You know, women have false alarms. So, and a lot of times, like right now, we've got the full moon today. So I probably will get a lot of people calling saying, I'm having some activity here. And it's really not an old wives' tale that, you know, because we're mostly water, that we are regulated by the full moon and stuff. And you'll, if you ask hospitals, even they'll say they have many more emergency room visits. That's when most of the babies are born during the month, is full moon time.
Wow. Okay, so then you get the phone call, you've got gas in your car, you head on over, and then what is it that you recommend when they're getting ready to have a baby?
It just depends on what's going on, you know. I mean, if it's really, really progressing, then, you know, I'm going to stay, and I'm going to get making sure that they're eating and they're having lots of water, and, you know, find them positions of comfort. Maybe we're going to put them in a shower. Let's go for a walk. If it seems like it's just a little draggling, piddling thing, we'll go for a walk maybe. And but the big thing is especially for a first-time mom, because you don't know how long it's going to be, you want to make sure that they're hydrated, they've eaten, and that they're sleeping, and they're resting in between. Especially if it's early, you know. I mean, if it's early, go to bed. Because it may be a long time.
Okay. And then how long are labors?
They vary. You know, rule of thumb is 24 hours for a labor. And that's from the start of the first contractions. But then you have women that, man, they have their babies in an hour, you know. So there's no way of knowing or gauging, you know, how fast it's going to happen.
Now, what is it that you're going to provide women that's different than a hospital birth?
I think the biggest thing that you're going to see a difference is, number one, people are feeling very safe because they're in their own home, okay, and they're in an environment that they're comfortable with, and we're going to support them, you know, besides doing the medical stuff that we're going to do. But we also do a lot of support, you know, massage, you know, talking to them, rubbing their back, whatever it takes, you know, whatever they need, we're going to do.
You were saying before we went on air that part of the wisdom of having a child is to let instincts take over and try to forget everything that you just crammed into your brain that you read on the internet. Is that kind of, I mean, tell us what you noticed there.
Well, I mean, I have people that come and they have like 40 questions every time they come. Well, I read this. Oh, I read that. I read this. And I go, forget the reading. You know, it's like a lot of it is like, your body knows how to have a baby, you know, and the difference between us and what some people would consider third world countries that have better outcomes than we do in birth is that these people have been taught from a very young age that this is just a natural process. It's just a natural process. No, we don't need to cram our heads full of books, videos, and stuff, even though I am doing movie nights.
I know, we will talk about
library.
That.
But That's just to try and give people a different awareness of some of the other things that are out there. And but it's really about letting go. It's really about letting your body do what it needs to do.
Now, we've become so crammed full of useless information. You were saying that some of the shorter births seem to be people who can just kind of get their head out of it and get the numbers and the breathing and all the, you know, if they can just release all that and just kind of like contact their own inner instincts, they just have an easier outcome.
And I think that that's a big thing for all areas of our life.
Oh,
honestly.
Gosh, isn't that true?
It's like, forget the clock, forget having, you know, the computer going. We always have to have all this stuff going. I mean, it's like kids, it's like you look at kids and they'll sit all day and they'll text. I mean, they text all day long. How do you do that? I can't do that. But it's like learning to shut down and let, you know, feel yourself. I mean, how many people just even meditate, take, you know, 20 minutes a day and do nothing, no television, no clocks, no anything. Just sit outside and enjoy something. Just sit and enjoy where you are. And I think for pregnant women, I always tell them, take some time every day to just sit and enjoy your baby, you know, because this is a wonderful time. Everybody's so anxious about having their baby, you know, it's like, when is it going to happen? I don't know. My husband used to say that before he passed, he'd go, well, when do you think she's going to have her baby? How would I know? You know, I go, if I was psychic, I wouldn't have to be a midwife, you know, I could make more money doing the psychic thing, you know. How long do you think you'd be gone? I don't know. You know, however long it takes.
Yeah.
You know, it takes what it takes. Some people are fast, some people are slow.
So midwives offer a certain amount of support. I see that you do cranial sacral work, which for me as a body worker, that's like, wow, that's cool. Okay, so now is that helping people hit a state of relaxation and kind of releasing, or what is it? Is that for after the birth?
You know, I don't really do it on adults because I don't have the space. My office is not big enough. But I do it on all the babies.
Okay, you know, that's what you do for the babies.
Yeah, and so it's and young children. I do cranial work on young children because my table is set in my office where I can do that. But I don't have a walking around space that I need for an adult. But it's really just to release and adjust their cranium after birth.
Oh, after they've pushed through this small space.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what about a water birth? Now, I see that that's sort of a popular thing. What is that?
It's just basically having a tub filled with warm water. And people that have old-fashioned bathtubs with really big old claw-like ones, they work fine. I mean, I've got portable tubs that I will bring to people's houses. Some people, they'll labor in them. They're very nice for labor because it dissipates the contractions. You know, you don't feel it all concentrated in one spot. But a lot of people don't want to birth in there, you know. And so it really depends on the woman, you know. And some people just get in at the very end. So it's just another tool to help them relax, basically. And a lot of people will get in that tub and they'll just let everything go.
So if you were in a hospital, what, you would have an epidural possibly, or what kind of pro con this for us? Because
well, this is the way what I feel about the drugs. I have a great bumper sticker, and it used to say just like the DARE ones, and it says dare to keep your baby off of drugs, have a home birth. Hmm. You know, because basically they tell you all through pregnancy, no drugs, no alcohol. But then what do they do when you get in the hospital? They drug you up. You know, they're drugging these babies, and then they wonder why they have these babies that are floppy, that they're having to resuscitate. I mean, what has that baby got kind of cocktail? Maybe it's got Pitocin, maybe it's got Secinol, maybe it's got, you know, stuff in the epidural. And then they're wondering why, you know, these babies are just kind of groggy, you know. And if it's really true, I mean, we're the country in the world that has the most epidurals. We have the most drugs, and we also have the most addiction problems in the world.
Well, how many births have you attended?
Oh, about 1,200, 1,300, something like that.
Wow, okay. Have there been any problems with any of these along the way?
There's always going to be problems. It's a very rare thing that I would transport, you know, to the hospital, but I do that periodically. And I have some people that have decided they really want the drugs, and that's okay. That's their choice, you know, when things get going, so...
And then what do you do when they want the drugs? You kind of just transfer them to the hospital so they can...
I transport them and I go with them. And I stay until everything's done, you know. And then I still do aftercare.
And then tell us about the aftercare.
The aftercare, I usually see them at 2 days, 3 days, and 5 days at their homes, and then they come back and see me at my office at 2 weeks, 4 weeks, and 6 weeks.
Okay. And then when someone has a midwife, then often I'm going to guess that they're going to have all their kids that way. Is that just usually what happens?
Well, yeah, sometimes. My friend who was going to come today, except that her sister-in-law is having a baby now in Grass Valley, she called me this morning. She had two home births.
Mm-hmm.
Her mom had two babies at home. She had her first two babies at home. And her third pregnancy, she had twins that were in a weird position, and they ended up being a C-section.
Okay.
So.
And what kind of people choose a midwife? We probably all have a little picture of somebody.
Yeah, you would be shocked if people see who come to my house. I mean, I have Rastafarians come to my house. You know, I have everybody. I have doctors, lawyers, bank managers, you know.
Well, when we come back,
support.
Okay. When we come back from our break, I want to get a little more about the history of midwifery and when did we start having babies in hospitals? So we'll come back with more questions. And if you have any questions for Dina, give us a ring at 605-4567. We'll be right back.
Looking for fun.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy here on KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio. And in our studio today, we have Dina Burgess. She is a licensed midwife, and we are learning a lot today. There's so much to know about midwifery, and I want to just kind of catch people up who might need to know a little more about the training of a midwife. And if they're, you know, if listening to this show today has them thinking this might even be a career choice for them, can you tell us a little bit about what it takes to become
sure.
a midwife?
There's a lot of schools around, and in California, the school you choose to attend has to be MEEC certified. And that's accredited through the medical board. And so there's a couple up in Oregon. There's a couple in Utah. There's even some that you can do all of your didactic training, which is the book stuff. You can do it all online. And then you need to have somebody that you precept with that would be a midwife so that you're not just learning. And part of the training has to be, it's not just how to deliver babies. You're still learning all the other stuff. You know, you're doing well woman gynecology. So the other things that I do in my practice is I have a large following of older women that I just do pap smears, breast exams, you know, yearly exams on and stuff like that.
Oh, is
so
that right?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
So it's actually a, basically we're like an OBGYN, basically, is in our practice, you know. Anyway, so if you wish to, you can always go on the site for MANA, which is the Midwives Alliance of North America, and their website, and you can also go on California Association of Midwives website, and it'll give you all the lists of all the schools that are available. So there's a lot of different avenues depending on where you live. There's also besides being a licensed midwife, I'm also a certified professional midwife, which is done through all of North America. So I mean, I can practice in Canada, I can practice Mexico. I can practice in a lot of states that don't have licensing that will accept the CPM certificate.
How many midwives do we have in our area?
There's two of us. Actually, there's several of them. Not everybody's practicing. Okay. There's one that just moved from Oregon, and then there's another one in town. And then in Red Bluff, they've got three that work with Dr. Shea, and they do hospital deliveries down there.
Are there any men?
There are men midwives.
Cool.
There are, you know, yeah. It's like, it's funny, too, because I have a 17-year-old grandson that lives with me, and sometimes he'll answer the phone, I'll be gone or something, and somebody will come back and call me later, and they go, oh, your grandson answered my questions.
That's great.
And I go, yeah, he's the male midwife of the family. So, but there are, and there's one that lives down in San Diego that's, he does mainly most of his births in Tijuana, but he has a huge following.
Wow. Now, what is it that made you decide to have movies for the general public? Because part of how I met you is that you're putting on a series of movies at the county library that have to do with birthing.
Right.
And so what is it that, like, what are we missing that's so obvious that you thought, oh, I've got to get information out to the public?
I think, you know, years and years ago, I used to do a series of movies when Nova High School was still happening, okay? And we used to show movies up there. This is like in the 70s, 80s. And there's just a need. I mean, there's a whole group of young women now that are becoming doulas and stuff. And I've got movies. I've got some great movies. And it's just to open people's awareness of maybe thinking about options for their birth. Not necessarily, I don't believe that every woman needs to have her baby at home or with a midwife, but I think that you need to have feel comfortable where you are and be able to ask the questions you need to ask. And I think that that's the, you know, the role of a good care provider is to be able to answer your questions. And sometimes the women don't know the questions to ask, you know. It's not about going to the hospital classes and them saying, now don't worry, honey, we're just going to take care of it. You don't need to worry about anything. You know, there's things you need to ask about. You know, like, okay, what are the side effects of having an epidural? What are the side effects of you inducing me? What are the side effects of the baby? They don't know all the side effects. They just don't, you know. Giving Pitocin, I mean, several years ago there was six babies that died in a hospital in Kentucky, and they were all Pitocin induction related. I don't know if the drug was changed or what. But, I mean, you know, we don't know all of the side effects of things that we're doing. And so for me, I just want to be informed. And what is really informed consent is that knowing every time they give you something, what's this going to do to me? What's it going to do to my baby? You know, and sometimes, you know, just seeing that there's other ways to do birth, you know, and not necessarily some people maybe they don't want to go into early, you know, stay at home. There are things you can do in early labor without sitting around the hospital. A lot of times they'll kick you out and go, nope, you're too early. Come back if it's not happening. You know, what are the ways you can handle labor? You know, whether it's water, walking, eating. Some people are just real dehydrated, and being dehydrated will give you lots of contractions.
Oh, interesting. Boy, there's so much information that just doesn't get passed on anymore, huh? Whether it's about knitting or childbirth, we just sort of stopped all that, our ancestral wisdom.
I think we're becoming just real blindsided, you know, one-sided in that we're taking our information, instead of getting information how it used to be given, passed on from mother to child or whatever, we're getting our information from television, you know, movies, and a lot of it is very erroneous, you know.
See babies stuff. Born in hospitals and on TV shows and movies constantly, don't
I
we?
I know, but it's always the thing where the woman grabs her belly and she's going, ah! You know, and it's never like, and you know, most people when they think about a home birth, they think of old movies they've seen, and the woman's having a baby, and the door's closed, you know, she's in the prairie somewhere, and the baby cries or it doesn't cry, you know. And, I mean, that's what people think.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
Or, you know, and it's interesting that they will prosecute midwives for practicing medicine without a license, but they'll give taxi cab drivers medals for delivering a baby in the back of the cab. You know, I mean, this is just how crazy we've gotten.
Oh, dear, that's
so
funny.
I mean, you know, the information's out there, and when you think about it, World Health Statistics is 99% of everyone on the planet today has been born at home. When you think of the huge, that's a huge thing. I mean, there are countries that have, you know, most of their population is born in on mud floors. And they
survive. We're still a few steps from that, aren't we?
We're still, thank goodness.
Hey, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and we'll be back with more questions for Dina Burgess just after these messages. Hope you're feeling groovy. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy. In the studio today, we have Dina Burgess, and she is a midwife here in Reading. And, Dina, you were telling us during the break that there was a time in the 70s where probably there were more home births than there are now, but it's sort of surging in other areas. You know, Grass Valley outside of Sacramento, Southern California, people are really using midwives, and we're a little slow to get on that bandwagon a little bit, right? So
right.
Compared to our population, we have the people, we just aren't doing it quite as much as others.
Right, and I think a part of that is that we're just not educating people. You know, people still think of midwives as, you know, walking around, we were talking about, little waving herbs over people and stuff, you know. It's like, we were trained professionals, you know, honestly. And, I mean, midwives come in all shapes and sizes. And in certain areas, our area, our region, we have the largest region in California for midwives as far as California Association of Midwives, but we have the fewest midwives. You know, because there are areas in like LA and stuff where there's 50 midwives that attend midwife meetings, you know. So it just depends on the area, you know. And I think a part of it is education, you know, getting the educating people. And it's amazing that, yeah, earlier on in my career living in Reading, I did many more births than I do now.
Okay. Well, before we go into these movies, because you have three coming up, I want to take each movie one by one and go through it. I just want to touch on what you were saying to me before we started. You mentioned something like, oh, nothing drives me crazier than people who have read the book, What to Expect When You're Expecting.
I mean, it's a terrible book. It should be off the bookshelf.
And that every person will repeat pages back to you when they think they've, you know, like, oh, on page 48 it says this. And so there's just something that was really funny to me, because we all know that that is just almost like the Bible for childbirth.
I know. And I've gone in bookstores and actually said, you know, you should take this off the shelves.
Now, what's wrong with that book?
Because it really scares people constantly.
Yeah.
I mean, almost every page has got something scary on it, so it's like you start looking for things that are, like, going to jump out at you of the woodwork, you know, when you're pregnant. And you know, birth is a natural process. It's just like anything. And we just have over-educated ourselves in many respects, and we don't allow our bodies to do its job, you know.
So still, your number one advice for any woman is to just kind of basically chill out.
Chill out.
Is that okay? And so then, so take us through another thing you said that was interesting was, like just people who have more emotional baggage. Do I want to say? I don't really want to say that. But if you're more stressed out about it, these labors are just actually a lot longer than someone who can just sort of get a little more in touch with their natural rhythm and just say yes, you know, like, here we go.
Here we go. I'm excited. Let's have this baby, you know. And people always get real excited about, when am I going to have the baby? When am I going to have the baby? And then once it starts, they go, oh, and I go, this is what you wanted. You know, you've been waiting for this. So enjoy it, you know, embrace it. But it is. It's birth is really only 10% physical. It's really an emotional process. You're giving birth. You're giving. And you're giving, you know, you're going through this process with this baby. And, you know, and it's like, embrace it. Embrace it.
And stop running an index of all the things that could go wrong through your brain.
Things that could go wrong, right. And, close the clocks. I always tell people, cover your clocks. Don't leave me a big list of what time contractions started every time you get one, you know, because it doesn't tell me anything. I mean, I can walk in a room and my apprentice gets very blown out sometimes. She goes, you didn't even check that woman, and she's pushing. And I go, well, if you're observant, you'll be able to tell what's going on with her body, you know. It's just knowing and watch it. You know, so it's really being observant and you know, embracing each moment of things that you're going to do. So,
well, when did we start having babies in hospitals?
In about the 40s or 40s or so is when the majority of people started having them in the hospital. And I don't know if the switch was because, one of the things is that they stopped licensing midwives in some states, you know, and up until then, it was a little bit more convenient for people to go to the hospital. Doctors didn't have to travel in the middle of the night. You know, they realized, oh, my gosh, this woman can go to the hospital. The nurses take care of her. I'll show up when it's time to catch the baby. They'll call me, you know, so they're not up all night. They're not spending all this time. So it's a big time thing.
What about the infant mortality rates that
they're
we
high.
See?
They're very high. And something very interesting, I just got a notice from UNICEF.
Yeah.
Did you hear about the UNICEF?
No.
UNICEF has come out and said that the United States has such a high mortality rate for women in the first year after they've had a baby that it's becoming almost higher than almost any other country. Which UNICEF, you always think of UNICEF of dealing with Africa and India and all these other countries. But if they're being concerned about what's going on in the United States, something's going on here. We have a very high infant mortality rate. You know, I think we're number 28th in the world, which means that there's 27 other countries that have better outcomes than us. Some of those countries are countries that are little tiny islands with no medical care, hardly. We have the best technology there's something wrong with what we're doing. We have the best technology, some of the worst outcomes.
Tell me what you think about our C-sections. Do you think we're over C-sectioning, or is it about right on target, or what's your opinion there?
You know, years and years ago, it used to be ACOG said, which is the American College of OBGYNs, said that C-section rates shouldn't be higher than 5%. And they used to investigate hospitals that had higher than 5%. Are we teaching women that they're not capable of having babies? I mean, you know, we're not giving them enough time. What? Some women need a lot of time to have a baby, and they'll have a baby, you know? And, I mean, some people need to have C-section, and I'm glad we have them. It's just like hospitals. I'm glad we have them when we need them, you know? But not everyone is a candidate for C-section. And now it's becoming very popular for some women to already plan their C-sections, you know, and they say, my baby's going to be born a cut above. They'll send you out a birth announcement with the baby's name the day it's going to be born because it's already planned. That's scary.
Okay. Well, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and, you know, we're going to take a little break here, and we'll be back with more questions for Dina Burgess, our licensed midwife, just after these messages. Welcome back. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt. You're listening to Positively Healthy on KCNR 1460. And our guest today is Dina Burgess. She's a licensed midwife here in Reading. She's been a midwife for 38 years. Sounds like we only have a couple of midwives around here, and Dina is one of them. So welcome back, Dina.
Thank you.
Well, now you are doing a lot of education for the public, so you can start letting us all understand the importance of home births or giving people options, choices. And so you're having a series of movies at the Shasta County Library, and I want to take folks through this. The first one's coming up right here, June 30th on Wednesday. And so from 6:30 to 8 p.m., so it sounds like an hour and a half. And it's called The Business of Being Born. Now, what is that movie about?
That movie was done by, oh my gosh, I'm having an old brain fart. She's a talk television host. And basically it talks about the business of birthing, you know, and it's very informative as far as, you know, what people's options are. Talking about birth plans, talking about doulas, talking about...
a birth plan?
A birth plan is like the things that you really want done, you know, that you would like to have done for your birth. You know, you don't want the baby taken right away. You don't want this done. You don't want that done. There are things that people want, you know, and unfortunately, we don't have a lot of those options in Reading. But it's a great movie, very informative. And then the next movie we have is...
Well, that one is on Monday, July 26th, so about a month later. That's a little bit later in the day, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., and it says, Birth into Being, Russian Water Birth Experience. Now, what is that movie?
This is a fun movie to watch. This woman gives birth in a tub, and then she talks about women birthing in the Black Sea. There's a big group that shows up every year that they actually birth in the sea, the Black Sea in Russia. So, I mean, it's a pretty phenomenal movie. And they show babies swimming in the water and, you know, in the ocean, I mean, for goodness sakes. And so it's just another option, you know, to let people see what's going on around the world.
Wow, that's interesting. And then on August 16th, a Monday, from 6:30 to 8, you have a movie called Home Sweet Home Birth. What's that movie about?
It's just about home births. And,
interviewing couples?
Interviewing couples, showing a couple births. These are all movies that are tasteful, so you could bring your children to, if you want to, or, you know, educate your children. And we're going to be doing movies right now. We're scheduled at the library through December. So every month we're going to try and do a movie. And also there's a great booth that's at the Farmer's Market. That's run by some friends of mine that are doulas. And
and what is a doula?
A doula is somebody who just comes in and is your birth support person. You know, it's kind of like having your husband there, but a woman who probably has had a baby and is better able to support you than your husband might be. You know, and he can, you know, give him a break, too, when he needs a little break. So...
So then, so you're going to continue on through the end of the year.
So and we're going to hopefully continue doing them next year, too.
Okay. So the flyer I have, this is just the beginning of it. You're going to keep going.
Yeah, we've already got all the movies all set, you know, through December right now. I can't book the library until next month for January.
I see. You got to do it in little chunks.
You got to do it in little chunks. So, yeah, and these are all free. And so there'll be a lot of information for people that are doing other stuff in the community that are providing birth services, birth classes, things like that, you know.
I think one of the things that I've learned today from you is a little bit of just the hands-off approach. You know, you were even mentioning that a veterinarian said, you know, when an animal is giving birth, like, keep your hands away. Like, just let the animal do its thing. You know, like, stop micromanaging. And I think that that's kind of a little bit of wisdom there. That, what do you want to add to that?
The only other thing I want to add to that is that you know, we feed our animals better than we feed ourselves.
Ugh.
Or we feed our children. And that's a scary thought. You know, people, they're worried about kind of things that their dogs are eating or their horses are eating when they're pregnant, but they don't worry about what they're feeding, you know, their wives or their...
Yeah, and you were saying that a lot of the trend of having great big babies is just, I'm going to guess it's going to be all the hormones and...
It's going to be the hormones in the foods.
Yeah, the hormones
and almost
in the
everything.
Food.
And so unless you're eating fairly organic, I tell people, you know, little young girls now are having menses at age 9, where it used to be the trend would be 14 to 16. And I think that's because of the growth hormones in our eggs, meat, and
dairy.
Dairy, you know, I mean, antibiotics. Every time you eat, every day, if you're eating regular commercial food, you're getting antibiotics.
Yeah.
So antibiotics don't work on you anymore.
Right, right. We get so jumbled up there. It's now, before we go, as we finish up the show, there are probably misconceptions that people have about midwives. Are there any misconceptions you want to just set people straight?
It's just that, you know, people just think we're old hippies that, you know, like I say, run around with baskets and don't sterilize anything, and you know what I'm saying?
That's hilarious. Like, you're adorable.
Chew the cord or something, you know,
yeah,
something like that. But no, I mean, you know, everything.
You're very professional and brilliant, I can tell.
Yeah, well, everything I carry when I do births, I mean, I have sterile stuff. I mean, we use sterile stuff.
And you seem very well trained. So.
Well trained. We do lots of babies. And the best thing I would want people to always understand, we do one birth at a time. So if you're my client and you're having a baby, you've got my full attention. Okay?
Well, gosh, I don't know how you can beat that. One-on-one attention. Well, I want to thank you for coming on today. It's been really nice meeting you. And I want to, as we close up today, I want to go over something that I keep forgetting to do, which is to talk about where the farmers markets are. I don't think I was totally clear on the fact that we have a farmers market at Turtle Bay on Sundays. And so for those of you who might be a little bit sketchy on the farmers markets, you know, here I am pushing all these fresh fruits and vegetables. I better give you an update as to where you can find these things. So as we check out here, I want to make sure you know that we've got the farmers market, which is the City Hall farmers market on Saturdays, and that's from 7:30 a.m. to noon. And then there's that Sunday farmers market, which is the Turtle Bay market, which I spaced on, 8:30 to noon on Sunday. We've got the Tuesday Farmers Market, which is next to Dairy Queen over there in that Shasta Center, and that's from 7:30 to noon. I'm not going to worry about the Bernie or the Anderson or the Bella Vista. And then from there, we have Market Fest on Thursdays, and so that's from 4:30 to 8:30 p.m. And so as we look for places we can have vegetables. You can almost, and that's 4 days a week right here in Reading, you can run around and get fresh veggies. And so, and then on this show too, we've talked a lot about the other options where you can have, we have two unbelievable delivery services in Reading. We have Churn Creek Organic Farm and we have Country Organics, who will bring you a big old box of vegetables to your door. And then last week we had abundantharvest.com.org, I can't remember right now, who they are a group that delivers to one location on Tuesday afternoons, and it's a bountiful box of vegetables. And so there are a lot of easy ways to get vegetables, and I'm still hoping that we can get vegetables just at the market, nice local produce, you know, you're already there. And so have a beautiful, beautiful Saturday, and we'll see you next week. We're going to talk about food next week.